CliffCentral.com.
What is it? It's Tuesday?
Yep.
Tuesday. Tuesday. All right. It was raining when I woke up this morning. And I thought, ooh, nice. A little bit of rain after all the stifling heat because I got like 2.5 hours of sleep last night. So I am ready to fight with everyone today. I'm in fighting mood.
I already got a taste of this.
I got my boxing gloves on. I'm like, bring it. Anyone who crosses my path today is in for a lot of trouble.
Yeah, like just quick one. Don't complain. Like no. We have a thing about complainers this morning.
Oh. So, I mean, even like harmless things, like Bucka Bunny brought up that Ryan loves Taylor Swift. So I started tearing into Ryan for liking Taylor Swift. I'm like, what kind of self-respecting man? What kind of self-respecting man would listen to this schlock that's been churned out by this fucking mediocrity factory that we call Taylor Swift? This package tour that's designed for prepubescent, addled schoolgirl minds. And he's just like, No.
You should listen to the lyrics.
He actually says to me, you should listen to the lyrics. I'm like, I have. There was a Taylor Swift song that came up on Apple Music for me the other day. And apart from almost like shitting myself in the car, I listened to it. It was about, Ryan, get in here because you'll know the song. It's about like how she loves going to London. I'm pretty sure that's all it is. And it's the most, do you know the song I'm talking about? The one that she, where she talks about London? Or how she loves being in England, London? It's something on, I don't know. Dude, you're asking, let me look this up.
All I know is you got bad blood, right?
Oh, God. You really are into her though, huh? You really like this Taylor Swift, yeah. And you really know all of her songs. And then I ask you the one song that I heard, and you don't know what it is.
It's London.
Something about London. Something about England.
All I know is we narrowed it down to what? He likes Elon Musk.
Oh, Christ. Now I looked up Taylor Swift. So I looked up Taylor Swift, London. Now it starts giving me the Eras Tour, London.
Yeah,
No one wants me to buy tickets for that.
It's the biggest tour in the world, right, Ryan?
You'd be so lucky if you could get some because they just sold out. What are you talking about?
Aren't you like slightly humiliated that it's you and a bunch of like
girls,
hormonally temperamental schoolgirls who are into this?
It's not just me. There's many people.
Are you the
name one other? Name one other man with both his balls who's listening to Taylor Swift right now. Now, what? Any one man?
Travis Kelce.
Who the fuck is that? Her boyfriend?
Yeah, the boyfriend. Yeah,
the boyfriend.
I doubt he's listening to Taylor Swift.
Oh wait, he's the boyfriend. He took her to the football match, and then everyone got more excited about her being there than anyone else.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Bring new viewership to the NFL.
Good. You know, I can't stand pop culture anymore. I just can't. I mean, like, especially when it's these, there's something about these fads, these trends that just drives me up the wall. All right, so listen, I'm not going to abuse you about Taylor Swift, but the fun has gone out of that. There's no fun. I don't want to do it anymore. All right, let's take a look at some of the stuff. By the way, listen, I've got to mention this right up front because there are only a few tickets left, but if you want to come to our Burning Platform special, you want to do something fun this week instead of having your normal boring day-to-day routine? Are you ready for some fun?
Yes.
All right. So you've been a part-time Burning Platform.
Yeah, like I sometimes chime in.
Right. So we're having this special on because Canthan is launching his book, How to Fix South Africa. And what makes this so cool is that he's going to do it as a live Burning Platform special. There'll be breakfast Thursday morning. You need to book your tickets on CompuTicket though. So what we've done is we've created a little link. You can go and find it on
CompuTicket. Just go to CompuTicket.
Go to CompuTicket. Search Burning Platform. Yeah. It's very easy, and you can join us. That's this Thursday for an exclusive live Burning Platform. You can be part of it. You can ask questions. We will have a live studio audience. It's going to happen here at our premises. Who knows? We may have our first people in the pool on Thursday
right?
morning.
Like
who knows,
burning
right?
platform from the pool to just to cool down.
Pumi and Canton and I will all be ready to regale you with interesting stuff from Canton's book, How to Fix South Africa, an owner's manual. You could be part of this important conversation. You could stay for coffee and croissants, which sounds like a pretty good way to start your work day in the last few days of November. I mean, would you rather just go to work and have the ordinary Thursday that you were planning to have? No, rather come along. Tickets are 150 Rand. I mean, 150 Rand, that's three chappies, right?
Like no change, keep chappy.
Did you figure out what was wrong?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Was it a my fault or a Ryan fault?
It was a Ryan fault.
It was a Ryan fault. Get out of the studio. I'll be humiliating like you things, with Taylor like, Swift stuff later on.
You're bearing the lead here, Gary. These things are limited. So like...
Right, Ryan, don't stop with the noises. Thank you. This is a live show. Ay, ay, ay. You know, it's hard to get good help.
These days.
It's really... Oh, man. I am having a... There we go. So everybody's happy in the comments. Are the comments section happy? Because that's all we need to worry about is the comments section being happy. You guys happy? Good. All right, I'm thrilled. Listen, apparently there's an AI.
Have you seen this?
Yes. I saw the story yesterday. I haven't tested it out yet, but... Grok.
Yeah.
Because I'm also sick of like Siri and Alexa. And it's all, I know you can change the voice to be like British male.
But have you heard the British
South
male
American.
Siri? Oh, it's ridiculous.
The British male Siri sounds like Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Siri. Can I help you? I mean, like, who talks like that?
Right.
Again, Taylor Swift fans.
Like, what self-respecting man.
Right. So what Grok is, thank God there's a little bit of this. I'm just very excited about this. You can get Grok, which is a new foul-mouthed, sassy AI. Yeah. And with a name like Grok, it's got to sound, how are you? Right? It's got to sound like that. Like, I would love, it's like the navigation thing. Yep. Apparently you can get like navigation from all kinds of voices.
Yes.
I don't want turn left into what was the one the other day that I heard? Not Julius Nyerere. It was something, but you know, you got this like British accent and it's a woman's voice and she's going like, turn left into Masilela Avenue. And you're like, what? January, that was it. January, Masilela Avenue. You're like, no, I can't have this. What you want is like, I want some very rural, like Zulu accent. Going, hey, turn left.
I said turn short left.
Short left into Januar. Masilel. And that's what I want. I want that, or I want someone who's like rude. And that's what this thing's going to do.
We once downloaded a Jabba the Hutt one.
Oh, my God. Do you get Jabba the Hutt
Jabba
navigation?
The Hutt. Exactly.
Uja, be the YouTuber who turn left. Ha, 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 ha.
Ridiculous.
That would be fantastic.
Oh, but like this, this by Elon is like, this is not your daddy's AI. This thing will speak smack to you.
Is Elon's?
Yeah, this is Elon.
Oh, I love it.
What he named it after Hitchhiker's Guide Through the
Grok.
Galaxy. Yeah, Grok. So there's an AI in there.
All right,
book.
So tell me about this because I know nothing.
Well, it's technically supposed to.
I know nothing, Jon Snow. What do we know about Grok?
Grok is. It's a normal AI, but obviously he's going to launch it on the X platform and whatnot,
yes.
Like what formerly Twitter. And then you guys get to interact with this thing, and this thing will give you answers in the sassiest way possible. Like someone asked it about itself, like, oh, are you real? It's like, Like, and then he just claps back. I'm like, oh, this thing is cool.
Okay, but it's not a voice.
Yeah,
it's not a voice. So, it's just so basically, AI, yeah. Instead of using boring old ChatGPT, that's so great because I hate ChatGPT.
Simulates personality,
and also ChatGPT is so politically correct.
Yeah,
you can tell it was made by people who are just super woke and into like not offending each other.
But have you seen now it can't even answer certain questions? Like it tells you like
no, it avoids them. Yeah. Because I can't have an opinion on that person's point of view.
Exactly. Like ask it about World War II, like Hitler or something. No.
Thank you for applying to our early access program. The program is currently limited to verified users. Yeah. You can verify it by subscribing to X Premium. Well, I'm not going to do that.
Aren't you verified already?
Am I? I think I am.
I think you are.
Okay, well, maybe I should. I don't know my logins. Let's just figure that out. All right. But anyway, this sounds quite cool. But I would love the voice to go with it. And the voice must be like,
it must be growling.
Hello, my son. Do you want a lolly? That kind of shit. I need someone angry. I hope you read books to your nephews, Gareth. Your voices are brilliant. Oh, okay, thanks. No, I don't read books to them. In fact, got a bit cross with them over the weekend. Because, you know, they're not my children. They're my brother's children. But I don't like children to be anything but well-mannered all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, especially if they're my nephews. And if they do one, most of the time, these are very well-mannered kids, and I'm very proud of them, and they do not embarrass me. But occasionally, because they're kids, they'll just wander off while they're talking to you or while you're talking to them, and they'll just ignore you. And I will not have this. I will not have this.
I will not have it.
And it's a very tough thing to decide where you are allowed and not allowed to enter into what is actually the parents' responsibility. So when it comes to disciplining the kids, but someone said something really interesting once, and this goes for, obviously, you know, we try to walk a line on this show with parents because I know it's tough as hell being a parent, right? And some of the people on the show, you're a parent, Pumi's a parent, Lebang's a parent, five times over, you know? So we try to be fair and even-handed because it's damn hard. But someone told me a while ago that the number one goal of parents in the 21st century is to raise children that other people are not going to instantly dislike.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like little things, manners, attentiveness.
But that's how we were raised, Gareth.
Yeah, I mean, we used to just get clubs.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, clubs were handed out left, right, and center. Had that too?
Try playing in the streets growing up, right? This is like rural Eastern Cape. Car comes through. You run away from the car, right? Everyone sprints from the street. Guy stops, gets out of his car, smacks you for playing in the road, bro. You go back home. So you tell your
mom. You were disciplined by other people that were not your parents, and your parents back those people up.
Yeah, you go back home, you're like, oh, mom, I just got a worship club from the street from this guy. No. Mom would be like, yeah, what were you doing? You're playing in the street. Pa, another one.
Yes.
Yes.
So the other thing that used to happen is that your parents and your teachers ganged up on you.
Yeah.
Not this nonsense of
teachers get bullied now.
The teacher gets shat on by the kid, and then the kid tells the parents, and the parents shit on the teacher like, how can you be so horrible to my little Johnny?
And then this is before the union step in. This is before, like, what? Children have rights now.
Forget the unions. I mean, to me, it's just, so I've got a friend who's a teacher, and she tells me stories, and my blood just boils. Because I think, partly, I would have really liked to have been a history teacher. Lecture in history, it's one of my favorite things to do, to talk about these amazing stories that have happened in our past that are so instructive, that tell you a lot about humanity and about the story of people and civilization and the big lessons we can learn. I went and saw the Napoleon movie, by the way, over the weekend, it's Ridley Scott, which is just magnificent. In fact, I'll get back to the history thing in a second. But this movie, by the way, there were 10 people in the cinema. 10. Because an IMAX cinema, okay? 10 people.
Cinema's dead, though, Gareth.
But I know, but I felt so bad. I thought, you know, here's an actual story. Because people will go and watch some dumb Marvel movie.
Marvel flick, like what, back to back?
Where people have magic powers and they wear spandex and they can punch, you know, it's this girl and she can punch out like some monster alien. And they'll go watch this movie. Credulously sit there going, like Taylor Swift fans would at a Taylor Swift concert. It's like reality.
But it's all the lights and the explosions.
It's designed to appeal to stupid people. And then there's an actual story that has all those elements of, if you want to see a battle, I mean, that's what makes this movie just extraordinary, is they show the Battle of Toulon, which is, well, the first real engagement Napoleon was in command, and where he stormed the fortress at Toulon and managed to turn the English cannons on their own ships. I mean, it was an incredible, brave, and he was brave. He was personally brave. He climbed up the ladders over the walls. And you see, like in the opening scenes of that battle, his horse gets hit with a cannonball. Full frontal cannonball into horse. Gore,
gore,
blood, horse falls down, noise, screaming, Napoleon's. And Joaquin Phoenix is just absolutely believable as Napoleon. Yeah. He's got his mannerisms down. I mean, you could tell this because there have been more books written about Napoleon than anyone else, right? And a lot of them have gone into his personality because we have his actual letters that he wrote to Josephine, the letters that he wrote to other people, his commanders, his edicts, his own. We can almost hear Napoleon's voice. So it's true to his style and his personality. There are a couple of things that they've taken license on, but the battles, I mean, the Battle of Austerlitz, which is, you just see what it looks like. And when he opens up the cannons at the whiff of grape shot in the streets of Paris, in I think it was 1792 or somewhere, where there were these royalists who were marching through the streets of Paris. And he just went, bring on the cannons. Because he said to Barras, who was essentially his boss, the leader of the military, during the directoire, the directory, he said to him, I'll take this command, but no one interferes with me. I'll decide what to do, and if you don't like it, you must deal with the political consequences because you're putting me in charge.
Yeah.
He said, cool. He lined up the cannons, and these guys were marching, and they started throwing stuff at the army, and he just said, open fire. And instead of using cannon balls, they used grape shot, which is like, you know, it's almost like a shotgun. Mm. What would you call it?
Shrapnel.
Yeah, it's like, it's ball little balls. Yeah, yeah. It's you know, grape size balls, effectively, which just cut through people like a hot knife through butter. And it's filmed like it would look if you actually did it. And people don't know what this stuff looks like anymore because we're used to watching Marvel movies where after you get squashed by 17,000 tons of skyscraper, you get up and you dust yourself off and you carry on fighting in your Iron Man suit, you know? So it's just, I just loved this movie and I would love you to see it if you haven't seen it before. If you don't see any other movie this December, then go and see that. Anyway, this friend of mine who's a teacher, she says to me, these kids are so useless.
Yeah.
Like she told me the story about this one girl who comes to her and goes, I don't know if I'm ready for this exam.
Okay.
So I'm like, what do you mean? Can you imagine telling your mother or your teacher or anybody, I don't know if I'm ready. I'm a bit anxious and exhausted. I don't know if I can handle this exam. Oh, don't worry. We'll let you write it Thursday. Don't panic. Take your time. It's more important that you conserve your mental health.
Yeah.
She tells me this. And then, so she says to this, don't worry. She says to this girl, listen, don't worry. Try your best. Sit down. Write the exam. You have to do it anyway. And see how you do. It might not be as bad as you think, which is great advice. Yeah. And it's motivational.
Yeah.
And it's kind. So this girl just gaps it. She runs away and hides on the school grounds.
Oh, probably like in the fetal position. Like,
I don't know where she was, but nobody knew. And then halfway through the exam, one of the other teachers finds her like skulking behind the bushes or whatever and says to her, no, you've got to write this exam. It boggles my mind that this is the kind of stuff that people get away with now. I mean, I would have been beaten and it would have been a good thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Pretty much.
All right, Tuesday vibes in heatwave land. Absolutely. That's what's going on.
We had rain.
Yeah, there was rain. Yeah. No, but it hasn't cooled anything down, if you ask me.
Seriously.
Yeah. And eye contact. Oh, this is such a good point, too, from Leanne. She says, Eye contact, constantly reminding my 4 and 5 year old to make eye contact, little acts of good manners, you know. Well, it's, I think this is also social media.
Yeah.
Like people are, they do this.
They're always on their phones.
So they're so used to doing this instead of looking at you when you're talking to them.
And also like this is like what, the kids parrot a lot. So you're, if you're talking to your kids like this, guess what? They'll do the same.
No, absolutely. Yes, guys. Okay, sorry. Sun Marie says, you would not think, or you would think, that some parents' goals are to raise kids who never have experienced any kind of adversity. I think you mean adversity. Marshmallows, brats in the making, yeah.
But that is also a noble goal, but you need to understand what you do. Like what? Discomfort does breed a certain level of stepping up and stepping up your game.
Oh, you only build muscle with resistance.
Yes.
And you only build character with resistance. And I'm seeing a lot of young people who have no character.
Yeah.
They just don't have, they've developed zero personality because they're shielded from everything.
Yep.
So a lot of people laughing at me going to see Napoleon because they're like, what? Did you go and watch that movie on your own, you loser? No, I went with friends.
Oh, so the 10 of people were you.
No, there were 4 of us and then there were 6 other people.
Also they alone.
Oh, it's true. So, dear Linda says, you're so right. Cinema Nouveau showed some of the most beautiful storytelling movies I've ever seen. I watched Les Mis by myself at the movie room. No, Les Mis was bullshit.
Yeah, it was.
You mean
bad.
That one with
with Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe and Hugh Jackman and that terrible, terrible, what's her name? Anne
Cruise.
Hathaway.
Also, doesn't he have a cruise?
Anne Hathaway was in it.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway and Hugh Jackman singing. I mean, can you imagine a worse way to spend your time?
Okay, come on. Hugh Jackman held his own. It was Russell Crowe.
See, and before anybody says, how do you know about this? I never saw the movie. I did not need to. But there were trailers that came out beforehand saying how great this movie. So it's based on the musical, okay, which we did at high school.
Yep.
So I knew the musical. And I know the story because I've read Victor Hugo, who wrote the thing. And it's long. It's a long-ass story. And it's brilliant. It's beautifully written.
Yeah.
Musical, great. But turning a musical into a movie? They did this with Cats, remember? And it was
it was a huge
disaster.
You know how many people were in that movie?
There are people who like musicals and there are people who don't like musicals. I used to think they were quite fun when I was at school because it was something that you could do and I could sing and it was a fun thing to do and I could make friends and that. Straight after school. Disappeared.
Yeah.
No longer something you want to do.
Yeah, High School Musical ruined musicals.
It's embarrassing.
That's the
it's embarrassing.
That's my only reference.
And you get these theater people, and they're the most irritating people. Anyway,
come on, I'm a theater person. Okay,
are
I watch
you?
Theater.
No,
I
watch. You go watch it, but yes. You're not a theater person.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they're the worst. Anyway, so you don't want to see movies like that.
Yeah.
And dear Linda, I'm sorry. You can go watch as much of that as you want. Anne Hathaway's hot, says Carl. If you watch it on mute, it's probably good. Yes, absolutely. I'll watch it. Yes, I'll watch it on mute. It's a good idea. Because they probably have good costumes, but you're going to see them going, la, 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 la. And it's going to look like they're singing and it's going to drive me crazy. So no, I can't. I don't think I can watch it. I saw the original with Liam Neeson. What? But he was, no. Did they do a movie on Les Miserables without the songs?
No, man. The movie is with the songs.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
If there was a movie
before
without
that.
The music, then maybe I'll watch it. But, I mean, it's a beautiful story. Let me just tap into the memory reserves here. It's a story of a guy called Jean Valjean.
The guy who stole bread.
Stole bread. He's locked up for 19 years and... He gets out, becomes the mayor of the town, like really cleans up. He's respected by all. He's kind to the people who work for him. He's like your perfect vision of capitalism, right?
Yeah.
And then he gets one of his factory workers is desperate to pay for a kid who's being kept by other people because she's poor. She starts selling her hair and then she becomes a whore and he feels sorry for her and he promises as she's dying he'll look after her kid, goes off to fetch the kid. Rescues her, raises her as his own. And then there's a whole story about this policeman who's after him, who believes that he broke his parole. And it's the most gorgeous story. I mean, if you've read the actual text from Victor Hugo. It's beautiful. But to make that into a musical, fine for musical people. But then to make it into a musical movie, a criminal offense. You should go straight to jail. Swap those people for Oscar. By the way, on that subject, we will be speaking to a guy later on. And this guy can really help us understand stuff. Because Dr. Gerard Labiskachny has been on the show before. But a lot of people talking about Oscar Pistorius at the moment. Should he be? Everyone's suddenly a legal expert.
Yeah.
Someone, I suddenly thought again, like I guarantee you somewhere in South Africa during the course of the events that will transpire in this Oscar parole thing, someone's going to say, yeah, but dolus eventualis. Really? Do you remember everybody was talking about, you know, a lucidum intervallum,
yeah,
and the act and the omission and the intent, and I put it to you. People were, I cannot believe that that was 10 years ago.
Yeah. What Andre Nal versus Gerry, what?
Gerry Nal versus and Barry Roux.
Barry Roux, yeah. Advocate Barry.
I mean, that was it was all consuming.
Yeah.
People would wake up in the morning, and by the afternoon, they would be legal experts.
Hey, bro, people were telling me, if you were behind that door, Gareth, and I shot four times, you're telling me I wouldn't know you were behind?
Suddenly, everybody knew about ballistics.
They're like, the trajectory.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You had people who've never held a gun in their hand telling you about the bullet's trajectory, how much velocity. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but like, this was such a bad joke back in the times. You know apparently why Oscar got angry at Reva?
No.
Apparently Reva, it was Valentine's Day, and Reva had bought socks.
Oh, come on. There's still a whole bunch of jokes. Someone sent this terrible thing about how if he gets parole, it'll allow him to get back on his feet. And I'm like, guys, these jokes, we've done all this. 10 years ago, we did all the jokes.
Yeah, we finished all of them.
We ran out of those jokes. It's just unbelievable. All right. I see kids buy Hubbly in full uniform, and those sellers are just happy making some profit, maybe, says Snipes. Well, you should be worried about them with vapes.
Yeah.
Yes, these kids are smoking vapes. I sound like such an old man, but I promise you, vapes.
Like, when did we allow, like, okay, I understand smoking laws, right? I understand it's water vapor and whatnot, but I'm trying to walk through a mall. I'm not trying to walk through a cloud. So why are people vaping in malls?
Because air isn't good enough. Air is too boring, so we need to smoke flavored air.
Sure.
You need to breathe in flavored air. I can't wait for the popcorn lung in 20 years' time. When all the 17-year-olds
are now like what? Yeah. Like 37. Like,
37. And when they talk, there'll be like these noises, this crackle, snap, and pop coming from their lungs like it's a breakfast cereal with milk that's just been poured on it. Can't wait. It's going to be so exciting. Anyway, speaking of smoking, I see this is quite an amazing story because New Zealand, which is notoriously the biggest nanny state, yep, or one of them in the world, New Zealand's government has planned to scrap a pioneering smoking ban. So I think people are finally turning their backs on these governments who think and presume they're in a position to tell us how to live our lives.
Oh, no, but like, this is not people, Gareth. People
are. This is the government themselves.
Yeah, this is the government realizing how to make money. You need to let the free market do what the free market does.
So here's the actual story. They were going to put a smoking ban into effect that aimed to halt cigarette sales to those born after 2008. So in other words...
So if I was born 2007, December 29th, I'm good.
But how old are you then? 2008?
Okay, I have no idea. Like,
come
like
on, 15, do 16? The maths.
16?
Okay, so you, if you were born after that, totally banned.
Yeah. Forever.
The legislation previously hailed internationally was intended to curb smoking, a leading cause of preventable deaths in the country. Health experts criticized the sudden reversal, calling it a significant setback in public health measures. The smoke-free laws implemented last year were anticipated to save thousands of lives annually, inspiring similar bans elsewhere, including the UK. Opposition to the ban stemmed from concerns about potential black markets for tobacco and financial losses for businesses, which we have first-hand experience of in this country. Do you remember lockdown?
Yep.
You know, again, politicians think politics is the art of the possible, but they have no idea how to practically implement these things. And they don't know that where there is a demand, people will create a supply.
Yes.
Or they'll find a supply. Where there isn't a supply, then that demand will be satisfied in some way.
Exactly.
And it'll usually be by criminals. So the decision to repeal the smoke-free laws shocked experts. I wonder who these experts are. They can't be very expert if they're shocked.
No, no, these are the healthcare professionals, Gareth, that are like trying to save the population.
Yes, but how can they be shocked? Because you know what? They're healthcare people. They don't know how policy works.
Yes, they don't know how policy works, but they have an influence in policy.
We still ask these people's opinion on stuff, even though, again, COVID. Great point.
Back to Oscar. Everyone was a legal expert.
Great inflection point there. Just go back to COVID. Don't go all the way back to Oscar. They're all shocked. They believed the policy would remain untouched, attributing the shift to pressure from minor coalition partners in the new government. Critics condemn this move, emphasizing its health impacts and the well-being of New Zealanders, especially Indigenous Maori. They always do this.
Yeah, they always do this.
Always do this. They always go, well, it's...
Someone must speak for the blacks.
But especially impacts minority communities, yes, or marginalized communities or vulnerable communities. This is always the stick with which they try to beat their bullshit policies into...
Remember how COVID was supposed to also protect the minority communities?
But do you remember during COVID?
Just working.
There was actually a thing that happened in America where they prioritized black people during COVID because they said they're more vulnerable to COVID. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Because then we have what? Okay, we have hypertension and diabetes, but
in America, there was very little to say that we must actually now delineate society along racial lines. I mean, this is like H.F. Verwoerd couldn't even have been this excited about stuff. They're like, well, blacks will do this, whites will do that, Hispanic Americans will do this, Native Americans will do that. It was like a racial essentialism class. And this was actually happening, and people didn't raise a stink about it. You would think the first people who'd be pissed off about this were black people. They'd be like, whoa, don't single us out. We know where this leads. Right?
Yep.
Anyway, so now they bring in the Maori communities because if they say that...
The indigenous Maori communities.
You see, if they say that, then they can just beat everyone else into submission, because who wants to argue that, no, well, you know, we shouldn't look after the Maoris in a special way because, God forbid, you should be called racist. What nonsense. Anyway, despite the goal to reduce smoking rates to 5% by 2025, concerns abound over the government's abrupt shift away from previously effective tobacco control measures. So there's a bunch of things going on here. First of all, government has no business telling people what they can and can't do with their bodies. And if you've got a nationalized healthcare system, that's your mistake. You shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
People should be responsible for their own health. And we're about to enter into a stage where we're negotiating over whether we should have a national health insurance or not. It's a bad idea.
Bad.
Very bad idea, because I should not be responsible for Bakabantu's diabetes, and he should not be responsible for my smoking or drinking or whatever it is. Mm. That's just not how it works. It's not right. That's not how society should work. There could be an absolute epidemic of obesity going on. Why should the people who are not obese pay for that? Mm. Similarly here, I don't see why, if smokers want to do their thing, then they must cover the cost of the lung cancer that comes down the way. Shouldn't be my problem or your problem, right?
Exactly. Anyway,
so this is going on. Then there's also this idea that government knows best, that a bunch of bureaucrats will be able to, through policy, make the whole nation healthier. Well, they can't, because as we've seen, the people that they're targeting here are teenagers, and maybe it is the Maori community. Okay, maybe Maoris are smoking more than anyone else. Maybe they're like self-destructive and have worse lives that you can measure or worse. Maybe the only joy they get is smoking. And now you're going to take that away from them, because the white government knows better. Yeah. So patronizing, really.
Yeah, it is.
The fact that this stuff is still tolerated in 2023 just drives me up the wall. Just leave people alone.
Yeah.
You agree?
I do. People should govern themselves, guys. I have a problem with this story.
Go on. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy.
No, it's the fact that people claim to be experts in stuff they are not, right? I know I'm not an expert in stuff, so this is why I don't speak in stuff. Let people who want to smoke, smoke. Like, that's the biggest argument for smoking? Oh, you're going to die anyway. Cool. Go kill yourself if you want to kill
yourself. Something's going to kill you.
Yeah, something's going to kill you. Just enjoy your life. Like what you said. Best, what do you call it? This is my... what my one smoke a day is my joy. Do you, dude?
You know what? There are people who are addicted to gambling. There are people who are addicted to gym.
Yeah.
There are people who are addicted to food.
Yeah.
I don't see... It drove me mad when our government put in the sugar tax.
Yeah.
Because the only people they're punishing are poor people.
Yeah.
Rich people don't care if you put a little 5%, 10% on sugar, that you make the Coke can smaller because the company goes, well, we're not going to pay more of this. Let the consumer pay. We'll just make the can smaller. The only people who end up being paid here, end up being screwed here are the poor. So you put in a sugar tax. Guess who's drinking all those soft drinks because it's the only bit of energy they get during the day? Poor people. You think some kombucha drinking, chai latte,
frappe,
Whole Foods, gym pants, Lululemon wearing Hausfrau from Bryanston is going to be punished by the sugar tax? Absolutely not. It's going to be some woman who hops on a taxi at 4 a.m, has to catch 3 more just to get to work, does actual hard labor for the day.
Just and then a Coke at the end of the day.
Desperate for something to drink and something to give her that burst of energy at the end of the day. And she gets into the taxi at the end of the day and she buys a Coke. And she gets punished.
My problem with this, government, people advocating for these laws are those people, Gareth, who don't buy the Coke, right?
Of course. And then they want the everyone else to be like them.
Yeah, and the government also capitulates and creates this nanny state where they want to control everything.
They get lobbied.
Yeah.
Gee, we are not angry enough. We'll wake up one day and see a piece of Mpumalanga would have been sold to China for a loan, says Snipes. It's not about saving lives. It's about governments driving themselves into spaces they don't belong. Our political class won't be satisfied until they have full control. That is exactly right. Exactly right. They get in and they get involved in stuff that we don't want them to be.
Yeah.
Like they can't even... We gave them a working power utility, this government, and they've screwed it up. Yesterday, I was at the gym in the afternoon at 4 o'clock. It was sweltering. There was no electricity, no air conditioning. There were about, 10 people in there. And I just went, carried on, did my thing. And then the lights had come on and they'd go off and come on and go off. And I thought, this is just so... It's so piss poor. It's like, this is because the government, as I said yesterday on the show, they went from level 0 to level 6 overnight because there's someone that doesn't know what they're doing. There's somebody in there who's got no idea what they're doing. Experts say, that whenever you see the word expert from now on, you should just immediately throw an article away because they're quoting a bunch of people who don't know shit. Anywhere the government involves themselves in our personal lives is a fuck up, says Derek. Fix and do what we elected you to do and leave the rest alone.
Yeah.
Right. Just border control. you saw this this new Javier Milei, whatever his name is, in Argentina.
Yeah.
There's this video of how he goes up to a chart of the government. It's like an organogram of the government. And he just pulls all the departments that he's going to just completely destroy. He's going to take out the department of... He goes, Department of Education, ha, propaganda, he says, pulls it off, throws it away. I love this guy, and he's got the wild hair. And he doesn't talk about the left or the socialists. He calls them shit leftists. Love this guy. What a great guy. luckily, we are not at Ireland's absurd levels of wanting to prosecute citizens for memes on their device that may be construed as hate speech. So this happened to Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
So in Ireland, they had this incident the other day where a mother and her daughter were murdered by an immigrant. And people in Ireland just lost their shit. They're like, no, we want to see the taps turned off here.
Yeah.
We don't want our country to become an open borders place that has no identity. Conor McGregor stood up for this. He made some very sensible, completely uncontroversial comments about how if the government in Ireland don't realize that people have had enough of open immigration, that they will change the government because that's how democracies works. Anyway, they went after him. He's now being investigated because he's the bad guy.
Yes.
Right. So it's unbelievable what's going on there. I'm pleased that you brought that up. Thanks for the tip then. Jabulo says, doesn't China have similar policies in policing citizens? And they're good at it. So policies do work in governing people. Well, you can go move to China if you want to, Jabulo. I'm not going to listen to government. That's why I like
China's
living here.
China's famous for the policing of people. Yeah. And
he says the one child policy. Oh, you mean that policy that had the unintended consequence of making a population which is now shrinking because all the men, since they aborted all the girl children, can't find wives. Yes. That policy. Yeah, great policy. Fantastic. Very well pointed out there, Jabulo. And you're welcome to it. The reason I live here is because I don't have to listen to the government. Neither do you. Burning Platform, don't forget to get your tickets. I'm going to mention it one more time because people are not paying attention. And like Njabulo, you need to get your tickets to the Burning Platform special this Thursday. There's only today and tomorrow to get them. Get them today so you're not left in the cold. It is a special live viewing of the Burning Platform. We'll do a recording here. You could be a part of that. You'll also get some coffee and croissants. It's Pumi Mashiko, Canton Pile. His new book, which is called How to Fix South Africa, an Owner's Manual, will be launched as well. You can be part of the conversation. And all you have to do is go along to CompuTicket, search Burning Platform, and it's 150 Rand, which frankly, if you know, I know things are tough, but if they're that tough that you can't do 150 Rand. As I said, what, three chappies?
Yeah, right? Basically. So it's not economy. That much.
Yeah, exactly. It's time for the window seat. This is my favorite thing because we get to turn our attention away from all the serious stuff for a little bit, and we get to talk to people who are at the forefront of travel. Now, the guy we're going to talk to today is one of the founders of Travel IT. He has been with Tourvest for over 15 years. His experience in travel technology has helped them to achieve a market-leading position. Now, we've spoken about Travel IT before and what an amazing technological advancement this is for anyone in the travel business. Now, they're poised for all kinds of global expansion, and they've expanded their offering to include expense management. So, Bakabantu, you know, for example, when a company sends people on incentive trips, yeah, or they have business trips or whatever else it is, it's very hard to manage that. In the old days, you have to like collect a whole bunch of receipts, and you have to go to someone claim in finance, and they would say to you, oh, well, you can claim on this, but you can't claim on that. Now, this whole thing has also been made much more streamlined, and it makes perfect sense. So we're going to find out about that from Wayne Muirhead, who is the Chief Sales Officer. And Wayne, it's good to have you in studio. We've been waiting to have you in here, actually. How are you doing?
Very good in you.
Yeah, man. Good. Good. All right. So first of all, I mean, we've kind of discussed Travel IT, so I don't think anyone listening now has never heard of it. But just so they don't get confused before we get into the detail of this, just explain what it is to people who are not in the travel industry, because it's such an unbelievably clever way of, first of all, doing your bookings, managing your expenses. It takes care of a lot of the headaches for people who are regular travelers, businesses who want to use it. It makes it a lot simpler for people to manage all of this stuff.
When we started this business, Gareth, it was quite straightforward. Mm-hmm. How do we simplify travel for the layman, for you and me?
Yeah, because I'm a real layman. I don't know what the hell I'm doing half the time. No, seriously.
It's a minefield, right? Am I getting the right hotel?
Yeah.
Do I know I'm going to get the right car? Do I trust the person that I'm working with to deliver the flights and the ability to get me to where I'm going?
And even in your own company, am I going to get into trouble if I book this hotel because this one's cheaper, but that one's full of rats and and this one, I don't know if I've got the right flight. It's complicated.
So we just wanted to demystify travel.
Right, because you guys know how it really works.
Yeah.
So that's why the slogan, simple yet powerful. Mm-hmm. So it was about content and about pricing. Go and get the content, get the pricing, and bring it back to the person in front of the computer to be able to go, I can select the right flight at the right price, the right hotel, the right car, and then we expand it from there. So you get visas, insurance, events, campaigns. All of it under one roof. Bus bookings. I want to be able to do my foreign exchange.
Awesome.
Whoa. Okay, and then the expenses. So we call it a total cost of trip, not just booking my trip. Total cost of trip is what we want to give to corporates and to the individual.
Because all those things usually have hidden expenses, and people get very confused because they think that they're in for, let's say, you know, 25, 30,000 rand, they actually end up being in for 45, 50,000 rand because there are all these hidden things in there. Now, this eliminates any of that risk for the business.
Correct. And right. During COVID, Gareth, was the time that we obviously, there were no flights, there was no car, there was no hotel. What did we do? So we branched into expense management and into procurement. So our background's actually procurement.
Okay.
We understand purchase order delivery, supplier management. We understand the supply chain.
Systems.
Systems.
Tech. Systems and processes.
And tech is most important.
Absolutely. Because this is the kind of stuff technology should be doing for us. Exactly. Should be making our lives easier, not harder.
Correct.
Okay. So let's talk about event management. What does that actually mean? And how does it work?
So the ability for Cliff Central to take a whole host of guests to, let's say, Rugby World Cup Sevens, Cape Town, iconic event at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Everybody looks forward to the end of the year. Great time to go watch the Boca.
It's happening, what, next weekend?
Correct. So now you want to take a whole host of guests. You've got 50 people, all coming from different parts of the world, or the country rather. What do you do? So it's built a system that takes care of that.
Otherwise, you'd have to have three or four people running this, and then they're constantly changing their flights, and they want this car, they don't want that car, then they want to stay at this hotel, but they want a room facing the mountain. This thing will take care of everything.
Correct.
All right. So obviously for big events like a, you know, Sevens, for example, that's useful. But an event can be just the trip itself.
It could just be the trip. It could be like the IATF 2021. Cyril Ramaphosa opened up the country in October, and we had 7,500 people arrive in South Africa and go to KZN for an IATF conference. Now you've got to manage dignitaries, you've got to manage bodyguards, you've got to manage presidents, and you've got to put them in the right hotels, you've got to manage people with guns going through the airport, you've got to manage passport control, you've got to have people sitting in the airport, and then you can just imagine the bus logistics on the other side.
So who really benefits from this? Companies, obviously.
Companies, obviously small businesses, because you want to be able to control the expenditure. And the most important thing is the pricing. I want to know that I'm paying the right price for that property and all the bus transfer, etc.
So a lot of people use these various search engines that are available on the internet. And this is what I think is the most amazing thing about Travel IT, because you guys, again, can figure out the back end of this way better than we can. So I would, for example, maybe go on Bookings or Hotels.com or any of those things, but I don't go to all of them. Yeah. And I don't know how you guys do it, because you've been in travel for years. Correct. You understand this stuff better than me. So I go on, I think I'm getting a great deal. But there are various ways for Hotels.com or Bookings.com or any of the others, even the airlines that do the same stuff, to give preference to a certain airline because maybe they're paying for the Google ad search words or whatever else it is. They're prioritizing this one, or there's something going on where there's a deal with this one, with that one. You guys understand all of that. I don't. So I think I'm getting a deal. But actually what Travel IT does in the background, it gathers all of this information, gives you all of the options, and it also helps you to figure out what the most cost-effective options are.
Correct.
And in business, no one wants to have to pay more than they have to for any of this stuff.
And an individual. So nice example.
Yeah.
Go to the Rugby World Cup. And I know you've done the Rugby World Cup. Yes.
Yeah.
Took across 40 people from various companies using our platform, using our technology. Firstly, informing everybody on a day-to-day basis what's going on in the itinerary, because it's amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody has the most short-term memory I've ever seen in my life.
What do we do today?
Breakfast starts at 7.
So it even gets to that level of detail.
It goes to that level of detail. Sure. And it has to get to that level of detail.
Yeah.
You're dealing with senior CEOs of companies, etc. Oh. Anyway, we're on this trip. And the guys turn around to us and they say, we've got a break in the middle between the semis and the final.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get to go to watch the soccer, which is the Roma game? Ooh. And it was a fantastic game of soccer, apparently. But now you've got 5 people out of the 40 that want to break away and do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the flexibility to go into the tech and say, right, I'm going to put these 5 guys into a hotel. They're going to go by train. They're going to get their soccer tickets. And that's our campaign management that works in harmony with our event management system.
Are you also integrating things like AI into this?
Correct.
Ah, okay. Correct. Because someone asked here, Sharon says, could AI not do this for us? Well, partly that's what you also have integrated.
That's what we do, yeah. Right? So we bring it in. Informing people of what they can and cannot do. Remembering that there was a fair amount of striking taking place during the Rugby World Cup. People didn't know that.
The French are always striking.
They are. And there was a little disaster that took place, obviously, across that way up there, Israel, whatever. And obviously there was some friction there. So we had to be aware. We had travel alerts coming in. Those travel alerts are not just coming from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's AI reading exactly what those travel alerts
are. So you are doing behind the scenes all the hard, heavy lifting.
Correct.
And for the user who would have the travel IT interface in front of them, it allows them to manage every aspect of this seamlessly.
Yeah.
And you've touched on it, Gareth. People don't understand the complexity behind a travel booking.
Yeah.
A flight, just a pure airline flight, the amount of buckets of seats that are there. The airlines obviously trying to get their product in front of their competitor.
Sure.
So they're selling amenities, right? They're getting food onto the plane, the extra bag, the seating configuration. How do I ensure that I'm going to have the window versus aisle seat? All of that now is being brought into a monetized arena. And we have to adapt and ensure that we're bringing that
through. I mean, I'm so glad you brought up the airlines, because this is something that's become my bugbear. It's like, why is it that you, on most of the, not just the low cost, but all of them, now you book a seat and you think, okay, that's done. Then lo and behold, what comes up next? Oh, no, no. If you want to actually choose your seat, there's this much more. And by the way, if you want extra legroom, there's this. And if you are you bringing a bag on, then there's this. Before you know it, what you thought was a cheap flight ends up being quite expensive.
Correct.
They throw all this stuff on afterwards.
Correct. Quite clever.
The bastards, right?
Clever, right?
Yeah, it's clever, but it's a trap.
It's nefarious.
It's a trap. You've got to watch out for this stuff. But this, again, will allow you to see the overall cost of all this stuff.
And that's our point.
Yeah.
So we want to be transparent, and we want to be in front of you. And corporates, I mean, we're running 2,500 corporates in South Africa today.
Sure. Who are your big clients? Because there are probably people listening now and they're thinking, sure, this sounds great, but I bet you my company's not using it. Who are your big clients?
So interestingly enough, government should give us a lot of confidence. It gives me a lot of confidence. And they have strict policies.
Probably one of the places they're saving money. That's good.
Great strict policies in play. Things like no energy drinks allowed. Example.
Right.
And those policies are enforced and adhered to.
Pity, though, because in Parliament, sometimes you see people sleeping. Yeah. Okay, but that's an amazing thing. So you can even limit the sale of energy drinks.
Correct. So, and then Reserve Bank, we've got some of the big banking institutions that I'm not allowed to mention by name. We have a lot of retail clients, so the likes of Clicks, Pick and Pay, ABI, Massmart, they all use this technology.
Dude.
They can, for example, if your CEO is the kind of person who doesn't want his people being lazy, he could say you are not allowed to buy alcohol.
Correct.
During the
cigarettes.
Day. During the day.
Yeah. I was listening to your vaping.
Yeah, there we go.
So vapes, I'm not going to allow you to purchase and claim back from the company.
There we go. So, and this can all be made into processes and systems. You tick a box and then it's done.
Correct.
And if there's some policy change at board level, gets implemented straight away.
Correct.
Doesn't need to go through 17 back and forths.
Correct. Amazing. And also paper control. Mm. And I've got to be careful because we run SAPI's travel account.
No, we don't hate paper. Look, I'm using some this morning. Don't worry. I'm using some.
But, Gareth, the whole...
So a lot of businesses you guys help, huh?
The whole point was to ensure that we could listen to our clients, adapt. And we had to adapt during COVID. We had no choice. And the events and group side of business has really grown significantly since then.
Okay, so someone here, Duncan, says, is there an app or something on Google Play? So just explain to him, that's not how it works. This is actually, there is an app.
There is an app.
This is actually, it's a whole system. Here we go. So just hold that up again. There's the app. That's what it looks like. Travel IT. And you can find it and you can start playing around on there.
you can't play around in there. You've got to register. You've got to be a registered user. So we are a closed user group. Our open user group.
And you have to subscribe to use it.
Correct. Our open user groups are few and far between, but it's no secret. You know, Discovery is one of our major
partners.
So we do run that platform. And obviously from a leisure perspective, that brings you into a different realm.
Listen, some inside info, and I don't know if I'm spitting any secrets out here, but I was talking to one of your guys at Tourvest Travel Services the other day, and they were saying to me that these deals on Discovery are absolutely by far and away some of the best that you will get.
That's what I wanted to ask.
We can't get them.
You can't even get them.
We
They're
can't
that
get
good.
Them. They're that good.
I wanted to ask that. Are you guys running that Discovery?
Yes.
That thing. Remember my trip down to Cape St. Francis? Booked through that. Like what he's just described, I've experienced that, but I didn't know it was you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They run the back end of all of this stuff. It's amazing. All right. Well done. I mean, I think this is so clever. So internationally, what are we looking at expanding here? Because
currently 13 countries are we in?
Already.
Major because focus on Europe.
There's so many. It's all kind of disintermediated at the moment. There are so many people doing this badly, it would make sense for them to just borrow your system and start implementing straight away.
Well, Gareth, it's a true South African story, number one.
Yeah.
You know, we are a bunch of South Africans that started this. People around the world have come in to come and have a look at the tech. They can't believe what we've done.
Yeah.
But we have done it. You know, to our business partners being Tourvest, incredible.
When we talk about exporting technology and technological solutions, this is probably a great example of exactly that.
Correct. And we get the opportunity to go to the trade shows across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Our guys have just come back from America.
We spoke to Aki the other day. He came back from London.
He was in London, WTM. Mm-hmm. We were at the Travel Tech Show earlier this year. We go around the world and we look. And we seriously look. And we actually try and be buyers. We try and look at the tech that other guys are producing.
And
without being arrogant.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to sound arrogant.
I'll say it for you. This is the best you got. This is the best anyone in the world's got.
Can we make improvements? Absolutely.
Sure.
Are there areas that we can improve? But the tech that you're seeing that we've produced is world class.
All right. So here's an interesting thing. This is from Sanele. He says, can I let everyone in on a cheap flights booking hack? Maybe you can just confirm or deny this. Okay, tell us whether it's true or not. It says, browse your flight, see the price, but don't book. Switch over to private browser and watch how much less you'll get that flight for. Is that for real? Is that a thing?
I wonder where that Sanele is from. I know a few Sanele's.
Perhaps Wayne knows why that is. I don't know, but it's worked numerous times for me. He says, I'm with Discovery Bank and Trust, he says.
Yeah.
Huh.
Sanele is our
client. Smart. Is he? Is that how he knows? Sure. Okay. Wow. That's pretty cool. Okay. I'm going to try that for the next flight I book. All right. Very, very good. We're out of time now, I'm afraid, but it's always good to catch up with you, Wayne, and thank you for popping by this morning.
Thank you.
And don't forget, listen, if you're confused about what you could do, it's December just around the corner. It's like within seconds, it'll be December. And if you haven't planned anything yet, go to travel.co.za, make your dream holiday a reality. And you've heard why they can get you such great deals. And you've also heard how to make it happen. Go along to travel.co.za and make your dream holiday a reality. Thank you, Wayne. Nice to see you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, everybody. It's 7 o'clock. We'll be back in just a moment or two. Don't go anywhere. Cliffcentral.com, Tuesday morning. So much stuff still to come. You can't miss out on a thing. Don't go away. Cliffcentral.com.